Bienvenidos. Hola, aloha. Ni hao, namaste. Konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno. Sawadee karup, guten tag. Ja we viva katbang, half a day. Jai janendra. Salam, shalom, peace. Now, go vegan. Peace how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical kill, vivisection prison, killitary industrial core poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the USA, home of Uncle Sam Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Is there something else happening today that's diverting attention away from our live broadcast? You know, we're on 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Sunday, nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. You can hear us on that website and radio stations that are affiliated with GCN, and also click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com. Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. Well, I did warn the NFL not to schedule the Super Bowl opposite Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Well, it will just have to take its chances in the ratings and see if it gets $4 million per commercial again next year. I think sponsors get more bang for the buck advertising on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden anyway. I mean, you're more likely to contact Greenlight Meals for home delivery of vegan meals, right? Or Vegetarian House in San Jose for catering in the Bay Area, or Viva La Vegan Grocery, right? I mean, then patronize the corporate sponsors, the one percenters of the Super Bowl there, huh? Which, when you think about it, really is an irrelevant occurrence, you know, something of no significance whatsoever. It's just a bunch of people in a hurry, right? You know, 22 guys you don't know, right? You'll never meet them. It's a bunch of people in a hurry. People literally rushing and getting knocked down by other people. So, I mean, if you want to see that, you know, you can get that any day in any New York City subway station. And, hey, the ball isn't even round, okay? What makes it a ball? It's not round. Why do we care so much about a bunch of guys whom we don't know running and throwing and kicking and falling for 3 hours? Huh? I mean, we should care about all the we should care about the concussive brain injuries that they're, you know, incurring doing this. But just because they can catch a ball that's not round does not make them heroes. I mean, they're not saving anyone's lives, human or other species. They're not saving the planet. They're not ending climate change or deforestation or world hunger. You know, those are the heroics of vegans, each of whom should have a full stadium cheering for him or her. You know, and vegans don't need steroids to accomplish their feats. They just need good food, real food, you know, not animal bodies or animal secretions. Well, the NFL players are eating real food, at least, you know, like during the game for snacks, according to Matt Matava, MD, who is president of the NFL Physician Society, head physician of the St. Louis Rams. He says the usual game snacks are peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, nuts, protein bars. You know, they could be having vegan protein bars, too. No reason for them to have that whey. It would be better if it were no whey, no whey, since dairy is carcinogenic. So, you know, why get protein and cancer when you can have vegan protein bars? They could have, there's a large selection of them. Go to veganessentials.com or Viva La Vegan Grocery. You'll see there's the organic food bar, protein bar, Nugo, N-U-G-O, organic vegan protein bars. Square bars are organic. Cliff Builder bars. You have Core bars by Pro Bar, peanut butter chocolate, mint chocolate, really, you know, cookie dough, brownie crisp, all high protein, quality protein, you know, protein that comes from the plant kingdom. Also, Pure Fit high protein bars are vegan. Vega sport protein bars by Sequel Naturals. There's the chocolate coconut and Annie's vegan oat bars. So, you know, for the players, the Super Bowl is, you know, they also, you know, having, you know, as I said, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They're also snacking on nuts. Their Super Bowl is full of nuts. Now, as far as the fans go, well, the fans are nuts when you consider what they're eating. America will eat 1,250,000,000 chicken wings today, 20 million more than last year. So this, you know, for this irrelevant, meaningless mass activity comes the mass murder of, well, what, 625 million chickens killed for this annual ritual of animal sacrifice and gluttony. The National Chicken Council says that this consumption of chicken wings is the equivalent of 572 wings on each seat in every NFL stadium. That's what's being eaten. Super Bowl Sunday, you know, is another monument to consumption. You know, it's basically an eating holiday, right? It's second only to Thanksgiving in food consumption. And according to the Snack Food Association, the average American, the average American fan will consume 1,200 calories and 50 grams of fat today from snacks alone, not including meals. And in our mad cow madness, 14 billion bloody patties called hamburgers made from the ground-up corpses of tortured, murdered cows will be eaten by flesh eaters this weekend. 30 million slices of animal body parts and cheese pus-covered pizza will be sold, 27 million of them from Domino's and Pizza Hut alone, estimated by Forbes writer Alicia Jessub to be enough pizza to cross the Golden Gate Bridge more than 2,000 times. I wonder how many pus cells that would be, huh? Since a liter of cow's milk is allowed to contain 750 million pus cells, I don't know, even my Stuyvesant High School, you know, math and science high school, my background, I can't count that high, okay? Now maybe the Washington Redskins can change their name to the Washington Pus Cells, right? I mean, if they want to really, you know, scare their opponents, I mean, isn't that what the names of teams do, you know? When I was the program director of Jazzy 100 in Washington, D.C. in the early 90s, I would not allow the team's racist name to be used on air. It was the Washington NFL football team to us, or the Washington Football Club. And maybe all the other good names have been taken, right? I mean, it's the year of the horse. Happy Chinese New Year, by the way. So maybe that's why people were betting on the Denver Broncos, but they were at a 22-0 deficit at halftime. It's not worth watching the game. Let's just talk veganism here today. Maybe all the good names are taken for football teams, right? You know, actually, when you think about it, many of the teams are named for non-human animals. You know, you have the Broncos playing the Seahawks today, right? And then there are also the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore Ravens, Indianapolis Colts, the Atlanta Falcons, Jacksonville Jaguars, Carolina Panthers, Miami Dolphins, Philadelphia Eagles, the Arizona Cardinals, and the St. Louis Rams, which, you know, when you think about it, really is a tribute to the superior athleticism of other species compared to humans, you know, other animals simply are bigger, stronger, and faster than NFL players. Any puppy or bunny rabbit can outrun any of the NFL running backs, right? And, you know, while our greatest athletes attempt to, you know, hurdle over the defense into the end zone, well, pigeons can just perch on the goalpost looking down at those inferior human athletes doing the very insignificant, which is what the Super Bowl really is, isn't it? Very insignificant. When you consider, compared to what we will be discussing on today's program and the guests that we have coming up today, well, we will have Lester Friedlander, doctor of veterinary medicine, a former USDA inspector and whistleblower now, and he's going to address the bombshell videos released by the Barbie twins, who were guests last week. The USDA is illegally exterminating wildlife, and I asked Dr. Friedlander to take a look at the video from the Barbie twins, and Dr. Friedlander is appalled. In fact, I think he's going to sue the USDA as a result of seeing what's being done. This is really interesting. So Lester Friedlander coming up later on the program to also talk about slaughterhouse closures that really represent a very strong public health risk. So you're not going to want to miss that. Also coming up later today, we will talk to Wayne Shun. He is with Direct Action Everywhere. We'll talk to him about the campaign against Chipotle. Why a campaign against Chipotle, do you say? Well, we'll ask Wayne, and you know, part of the discussion will be the compromise of the animal rights movement, the selling of humane meat, and Chipotle is really cashing in on that. And also on today's program, we will have animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione. And he still is outraged at Mercy for Animals and its latest campaign, cheerleading for Tyson's, you know, the serial pig killer. And in fact, once again, I have invited Nathan Runkel and Matt Rice of Mercy for Animals to be on the program to defend the indefensible. I'm asking the public to urge them to come on and talk about their policies, okay? It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and the website is goveganradio.com. On Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio, you can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Donate online at goveganradio.com. Of Pete Seeger this past week at the age of 94. We thank him for his powerful voice, the voice of protest. And protest is the voice of hope, the way to make the world a better place. And someday we shall overcome for the animals too. We shall overcome speciesism. We shall overcome the exploitation and use of animals for food, clothing, entertainment, and experimentation. We shall overcome, and we shall dedicate our lives to protesting for them. And today I would like to recognize someone who lost her life protesting on behalf of animals. Animal activist are commemorating the 19th anniversary of the death of Jill Phipps this weekend, who died at the age of 31 on February 1st, 1995. Jill was an animal rights activist in the UK who was crushed to death by a truck carrying baby calves condemned to be sliced into veal. Jill was the first to give her life for the cause for animals. Jill was an animal activist from the age of 11 when she joined her mother in the campaign against fur. By her late teens, she joined the Eastern Animal Liberation League, a group affiliated with the Animal Liberation Front. Jill and her mother were instrumental in closing a fur retailer and a fur farm in Coventry. In 1986, Jill, her mother, and her sister raided the Port Sunlight soap factory owned by Unilever, protesting animal experimentation. On February 1st, 1995, Phipps was one of 35 protesters at Coventry Airport, demonstrating against the export of live calves to Amsterdam for distribution across Europe. 10 protesters broke through police lines in an attempt to sit on the road to block passage of the trucks when Jill was run over and crushed to death. Jill's death inspired increased and intense protest, and many councils and boards banned live exports from their localities. Calf exports ended at Coventry Airport some months after Jill's death, as the aviation company involved went bankrupt, reportedly due to illicit arms dealings. And sadly, animal advocates grieve again with the passing of David Hayden this past Friday. He was the primary driving force at No Compromise magazine, a beloved figure who will be missed by many. And so we are reminded that, you know, we're here on this planet, visiting this planet for a limited time, and we have to ask ourselves, how can we best use our time to make this a better place for animals and people and the planet? And to me, the answer is to ask everyone to go vegan, which seems to be the solution for everything. So I hope that you will dedicate yourself to that, and not be misled by some of the organizations who are cheerleading for humane meat and cheering for the right animal exploitation. But we'll talk further about that later in the program today with Professor Gary Francione in the second hour. As I mentioned, we have Lester Friedlander, doctor of veterinary medicine, coming up shortly. You are not going to want to... And in fact, I sent around a link to the Barbie Twins video expose of the slaughter of wildlife by the USDA. Lester Friedlander is outraged by that. We'll hear his comments about it and what he intends to do. And we'll also talk to Wayne Shun coming up from Direct Action Everywhere about Chipotle. And we shall overcome. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. You can support this program with a tax-deductible donation. You can click Donate at GoVeganRadio.com, and you can listen to hundreds of free archives We are commemorating our 13th anniversary broadcasting. Yes, we started in January of 2001. And as heard on Air America and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, and now nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, you can make a donation by making your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. And you can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services by emailing me, Bob, at goveganradio.com. And we are happy to welcome back Dr. Lester Friedlander. Dr. Friedlander is a doctor of veterinary medicine who for 10 years served as a USDA inspector. He actually trained other inspectors and now is a whistleblower. And we have a lot to discuss today, Dr. Friedlander. But just in starting, though, today is Super Bowl Sunday, and I mentioned that 1,250,000,000 chicken wings are being consumed for the Super Bowl. What about chicken wings? What should people know about them?
Well, it's quite amazing. Because of the Food and Drug Administration and the United States Department of Agriculture has allowed use of antibiotics, especially in the poultry section, those antibiotics also promotes growth. And I was amazed to read an article by the CEO of Buffalo Wild Wings, how happy she has been in the last year or so, that the wings are a lot larger and bigger, and it seems like her customers are enjoying it. Well, you know, the downfall of it is they're bigger because of the fact that there's more antibiotics being fed to these chickens. So, you know, I don't know if that's going to be healthy or not.
I tend to doubt it, and I think, well, it'll add up more to the super bugs and antibiotic-resistant diseases, so that'll certainly be a problem. Moving on, though, I asked you to watch the videos released, the expose from the Barbie twins, which talked about basically extermination of wildlife by the USDA. I sent you those that video. I also posted that on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden and my Bob Linden pages. Now, you had a chance to look at that, and I wanted to get your comments on what you saw, and I think, from what I understand, this is motivating you to action also. But, you know, what's your reaction to seeing the videos? Because there were other USDA whistleblowers who are letting us know what's happening.
Well, yes, those people actually work for Forestry Service or Wildlife Services, and they had some problems with their supervisors because they were violating the law and actually committing felonies dealing with the wildlife. And they are whistleblowers, but unfortunately, just like in my case, the federal whistleblower law doesn't really do much for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's a law, but there's really no teeth in it. And unfortunately, when they put out these poisons out there for the wildlife, there are other animals that are innocent that are getting poisoned and dying.
Mm-hmm. So the non-target animals, because of course we're sorry that they're all poisoned. But tell us a bit. You mentioned that you see felonies happening. What felonies are you're referring to? What felonies?
Well, the one felony the gentleman spoke about was actually when they said that they killed, I guess it was a mountain lion, okay, on foot, but actually they killed them using an airplane, shooting them from the sky, and that's illegal. That's one of the felonies they were talking about. But there's also other procedures that they were doing that is illegal and should be investigated by the Office of Inspector General of the United States Department of Agriculture.
And are you referring to poisons? You mentioned poisons.
Well, that also, but I'm saying, you know, the poisons are put out there, you know, actually to support the ranchers and farmers. You know, that's the reason they put the poisons out there, whether it be for the wolves, the coyotes, the mountain lions, you know, these other carnivores that the farmers and ranchers are saying that are attacking their livestock. But then again, there's innocent animals that are out there that are being poisoned also.
Mm-hmm. And they're using illegal poisons, illegal toxic substances?
Well, yeah, it's considered illegal. But, you know, you know, the government, you know, they make the rules, they violate the rules. You know, they answer to nobody except to the American people. And I think the American people have to contact their congressmen or senators and ask for an investigation about how this is getting out of hand.
Mm. Now, you are president of Citizens Against Equine Slaughter. You were successful in a lawsuit related to horse roundups. What do you feel about a lawsuit related to what you saw on the videos?
Well, I will discuss that with our attorney tomorrow, and I'll also send him the webpage so he can actually listen and see those videos and those interviews by the former workers that work for Wildlife Services. And I'm going to ask him to investigate further and see if we have any grounds to file a complaint with the United States Department of Agriculture, the Wildlife Services, and the Forestry Service.
Mm-hmm. And this is massive, widespread extermination of wildlife.
Oh, sure it is.
And we don't know that, and these are our tax dollars paying for it.
That's right. You know, these are federal agencies, and since they're federal agencies, it's federal money, and it's the U.S. taxpayers that are paying for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe a great majority of U.S. taxpayers don't realize this is going on.
I'm sure they don't. And actually, the Barbie twins tried to make this public, and the media just, you know, slammed the door in their face. So it becomes up to us to let the public know about it. This is really shocking, and I invite people to follow me on Twitter, at GoVeganRadio. I posted the link to this video earlier today, also on my Facebook pages, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and the Bob Linden pages. Why were you successful in your lawsuit against the USDA? How did you achieve success?
Well, we were successful in that lawsuit against USDA, the Forestry Service, primarily because when it comes to a roundup like that, the Forestry Service was supposed to make that announcement publicly to let the public know what they were doing, and they never did that. They just went and rounded up these horses. Some of the horses were protected horses, Bureau of Land Management, and some of the horses also were horses from the Native American reservations, and the horses got intermingled. And like I said, some of the horses were protected horses, wild horses and burros that were involved in these roundups.
Hmm. Okay, well, happy year of the horse. So, Dr. Friedlander, there have been some slaughterhouse closures and recalls in recent days. The one veal slaughterhouse in Northern California, the one remaining slaughterhouse in Northern California, was shut down. And I know you've been looking at these instances. So, what are you seeing through the eyes of a former USDA inspector?
Well, it's really a sad situation because a lot of people don't realize that Food Safety Inspection Service is actually run by food inspectors. They do not have the knowledge and education to run a program as food safety inspection to protect the consumer. There is no veterinarians in the upper management of Food Safety Inspection Service. They're veterinarians. And unfortunately, in one incident, okay, there at a slaughter plant, cows were never inspected when they were alive. They just went into the plant and were slaughtered. And now there's a recall with all the meat that was produced from that day. Now, in meat inspection, the most important step in meat inspection is anti-mortem inspection. In other words, while the animals are alive. And the reason it's the most important step is that if the animals show any kind of central nervous system, whether it be listeriosis or Circulin disease, rabies, mad cow disease, you can see it when the animals are alive. You can watch them if they have any kind of facial paralysis, droopy ears, staggered gait, that shows that there's some kind of central nervous system involvement. And I can't imagine where the veterinarian was when the cattle were in the pen area and then they were allowed to go into slaughter. Somebody should be fired over that.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And this is here in California. All of a sudden, they caught it, you know, and then they recalled all the meat that was produced on that day. And, you know, typically with FSIS, when they recall something, they always say, we have no reports of anybody getting sick or dying from eating contaminated products. Well, sure you don't.
Dr. Friedlander, we need to take a break. We'll continue our discussion on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We'll continue talking to Dr. Lester Friedlander, Wayne Shun coming up, and Professor Gary Francione. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We are talking with Lester Friedlander, a doctor of veterinary medicine, a former USDA inspector turned whistleblower. And before the break, Dr. Friedlander, we were discussing Rancho Veal Corporation in Petaluma, California. And what you seem to be raising exemplifies really a very strong public health risk. 40,000 pounds of so-called meat were recalled from this slaughterhouse because the animals were not inspected prior to death, and you say that inspecting animals when alive is about the most important aspect of protecting the public. They're not doing that. I can't imagine this is an isolated incident. This can't be the first and only time that this happens, do you think?
No, I think it happens more times than the public knows about it. But I'm just saying that in meat inspection, it's the most important step, you know, while the animals are alive. Because we do not check, you know, after the slaughter, we do not check the brains, we do not check, the nerves or anything like that. So, you know, when it comes to central nervous system like mad cow, Circulin disease, listeriosis, or rabies, we can see them while they're alive. But once they're slaughtered, we don't see that. So here, these cows were in the pen area, and the veterinarian is supposed to check them, and then sign the pen card saying that he inspected them, and they're allowed to go into slaughter. So I don't know where the veterinarian was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how could this plant actually
and you
cows
say
from the pen area into the slaughter area without anybody seeing them?
And you say lack of veterinarian participation is another big problem with food inspection.
Well, sure, because in food safety inspection services, there is no veterinarians in the higher management positions of food safety inspection service. It's run by food inspectors.
So
even the administrator is only a food inspector, and he's lucky if he only has a high school education. He doesn't even have a college education.
Okay, well, I think all parents can take this as a warning. How good can you feel about feeding, you know, dead animal carcasses to your children, knowing the public health risks involved in inspections? And also, wasn't there another case you mentioned this week with, was it the largest veal company in the country, or what was the?
Yeah, Catelli Brothers. Located, I think it was in New Jersey. They were found with problems with humane handling, a violation. It's a federal law. The way the veal calves were handled while they were alive.
And we know that you know, really, there's no humane meat. So if they're violating, you know, some sort of humane standard, it has to really, really be bad. Even though it's always really, really bad anyway, isn't it? What were they doing in violation?
I think what happened was what I was reading. It stated that they were being I think kicked and abused. They weren't properly stunned, so actually the veal calves were in pain and suffering.
So, and of course, this is something that would go on every day at just about every slaughterhouse anyway, won't it? Because animals who don't want to die have to be prodded and shocked and kicked and slapped to move, to walk through their death. I would imagine that, you know, it's not an anomaly again. This is standard operating procedure, except, you know, this one gets caught on video or something, right?
Right, but then again, it comes right down from the origin of where these animals come from. There's abuse on the farm, whether it be sows in gestation crates, whether it be veal calves in veal stalls, you know, dairy cows. I mean, there's all kind of abuse is going on with these livestock at the farm, not only under federal inspection.
Dr. Friedlander, we're out of time this week, but maybe we'll check in again next week after you see if you do want to do that lawsuit against the USDA. We appreciate your perspective once again and look forward to your next appearance on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, which could be as early as next week if something's happening. Thanks for being with us. Greetings again. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, we have expanded to 2 hours now, and we are syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. We're now broadcasting, well, we're just hitting our 13th anniversary on air. I'm just hitting my 30th anniversary as a vegan, and join me. It's, you'll love it. It's the best thing you can ever do. And I don't know if I'd be alive today if I weren't vegan for so long, right? You know, we always say, it's in the genes, heart disease, cancer. It's in the gene. No, it's in the diet. Everybody in the family is eating the same thing. And I hope you're not eating at Chipotle. Actually, I suggest you eat at Vegetarian House, 100% vegan restaurant in San Jose. Why would you ever eat at Chipotle if you can eat at Vegetarian House? Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. The international cuisine is just amazing. It's one of my favorite restaurants in the universe. And Vegetarian House, caters. So if you're having an event anywhere in the San Francisco Bay Area, a business event, a wedding, a small group, 1,000 people, make it a special event with catering from Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Again, the website, vegetarianhouse.us. And Wayne Shun is here again today. We welcome him back. He's with Direct Action Everywhere. And I guess you won't be eating at Chipotle anytime soon either, right, Wayne?
I won't, Bob. And I think if you continue eating at Vegetarian House instead of Chipotle, we'll have you for another 30 years at least. So the amount of energy you have, I think it's the least we could expect from you, Bob.
I feel 17, you know? I mean, it's all good. It's all good, you know? None of those, you know, none of the pre-diabetes. You know, it's just all good, you know? So,
It is. And
the food is so good, and it's the right way to be. You know, I couldn't participate in violence against animals and their killing. And so, Wayne, though, you're involved in a campaign against Chipotle, and I think people would be curious as to why Chipotle. They may be saying, oh, why aren't you picking on one of the big guys? Why Chipotle? Or isn't Chipotle now providing, you know, great animal care and some of, you know, it almost looks like it's a vegan restaurant from some of the marketing I've seen and the videos and all. So, but why Chipotle?
That's right. So Chipotle, in fact, is now the third largest restaurant company in the United States. It has a market capitalization of $16 billion. So the first and perhaps most important reason is that Chipotle is one of the biggest and fastest growing animal killers in the world. They kill tens of millions of animals every year. They've had 1,000% growth over the past 5 years. And if you're concerned about growth in the market for meat, then Chipotle is where all the action is. But the second thing is, as you noted, Chipotle is not only growing, and not only is it one of the largest animal killers in the world, but it's lying about it. So the company's motto is food with integrity, and when people come into this restaurant, Chipotle wants you to believe that they're treating animals with kindness, that they're green, that they're sustainable, they're kind to their workers, they're kind to the public. They're just a good company that you can have a warm glow over the moment you walk into the store. But the company's own marketing materials admit that they source from the same factory farms as other fast food chains. And more importantly, even if they didn't source from factory farms, killing is inherently a violent, not humane act. And so every time you buy a piece of meat from Chipotle, there's an animal who is quivering in fear before she died. And when they use marketing like unconditionally loved, responsibly raised, that we raise our animals with care, they're trying to deceive the public and prey on the public's best sentiments, its compassion, its love, its kindness, and turn it into a corporate profit engine for violence. And the third and final reason is that Chipotle is not only growing and it's not only lying, but it's serving a leadership function. There are so many companies around the country who are watching Chipotle's growth, and it's now the fastest-growing restaurant company in the world. And they say, we need to follow that model. They want to use the same sort of marketing, the same sort of methods to deceive the public into buying their products. And if our movement can't stop that, then we're not going to be able to stop the growth of meat.
Hmm. Yet in our movement, whatever movement that is, I'm looking around. I'm seeing some cheering for Chipotle from, I see Mercy for Animals and Vegan Outreach seem to express appreciation to Chipotle. So why would that be? I don't
So it's complicated. And, you know, it is disappointing to see those statements come out in response to our campaign. But I think Chipotle is a company that is the master of marketing, and it's been described as a master of marketing by mainstream media that have kind of examined their marketing materials. And what they try to do is they've done this to us. They write to animal advocacy organizations, and they claim that we're all on the same side. And you need to understand that we're making an effort to be transparent. We're going to help you kind of achieve victories. But what they're giving animal rights organizations typically is false concessions. They'll tell you, you know, we're going to offer a vegan burrito, or we're going to offer, you know, we're going to offer like 10% responsibly raised pasture-raised pork. And animal rights organizations that are eager to claim victories are quick to announce this to the public and say, like, look at what we achieved. But the truth is, when a company is continuing to kill tens of millions of animals, when in fact it's growing the number of animals it's killed on an exponential scale, that's not a victory for animals, even if we try to pitch that as a victory for the animal rights movement. And so I think if we're honest with ourselves, and if we have a genuine dialogue within our movements about what's actually happening with companies like Chipotle, we'll see that these are marketing materials. These are companies that are ultimately perpetuating not humanity, not kindness, not ethics, but violence. And it's got to be stopped.
Now, I see one of the marketing slug lines from Chipotle is vegans and carnivores unite. That's one of its marketing tools. And I'll talk a little bit also about there were some very popular viral videos from Chipotle, right? The Scarecrow and Back to the Start.
So the Back to the Start is the first video they did, and it's this wonderful animated short that looks beautiful. It's extraordinarily well done. And this company spends tens of millions of dollars on this marketing every year. And the notion behind this video is that the problem with animal agriculture is industrialization, that we've placed animals in these tiny cages, into these factories, and what we have to do is go back to the start. And so in this video, you have this Chipotle employee, this Chipotle guy, and he's an animated figure, obviously, going into factory farms and liberating pigs and cattle and chickens from these factory settings into sunny, grassy fields. And the animals go from these bleak, sad, miserable conditions to being happy and smiling. And so the ultimate message that Chipotle wants to convey to the public is when you eat with us, you're doing something good for the animals. But the truth is, all these animals are ultimately destined for slaughter. And as long as Chipotle is slaughtering animals, I mean, my perspective would be that they're an animal exploiter. And I know, Bob, that you would agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know Chipotle wanted to market itself as the ALF, liberating animals. And
wear
a ski mask on Thursdays for 10% off. And and I hear, you know, when I heard the song on Back to the Start, I thought, oh, wow, you know, it sounds like somebody trying to sound like Willie Nelson with a heart-rending song, and it turns out it actually is Willie Nelson. I think maybe we need to contact Willie Nelson, just as he pulled out from his concert at SeaWorld. Maybe Willie doesn't understand what his song is supporting on Back to the Start, because it is very deceptive. And as you say, Chipotle is marketing this humane meat, but it's coming from the regular factory farms anyway. So,
absolutely.
And in terms of, you know, when I saw the Scarecrow also, I mean, it almost looked like Chipotle was a vegan establishment. It seemed like the animals were missing from the equation. Yet how much of the menu is animal product derived, would you say?
And so the ABC News has had some reports indicating that even at the locations that were specifically targeted for introduction of sofritas, which is their new menu item, over 95% of the products are based on biomass, that are animal products. And so these are the most vegan-friendly restaurant locations in the country. Over 95% of the products involve violence against animals. And I think that, you know, at the other locations around the country, you'd think that even more were. So, I mean, Willie Nelson and Fiona Apple and all these celebrities who've come out and endorsed Chipotle, I think if they saw the reality of what's happening in slaughterhouses, if they saw that even cattle industry publications were noting that they're sourcing from these concentrated animal feeding operations, then they'd agree with us and say that this is not a good company. This is not a nonviolent company. This is a company that is ultimately exploiting tens of millions of animals every year.
And my understanding is that Fiona Apple is a longtime vegan, so maybe we need to be in touch with her. So, didn't somebody try to sue Chipotle for it being fraudulent, or was there a lawsuit related to
it? So there was class action litigation that was dismissed in December, unfortunately. But the litigation was essentially this, that Chipotle claims, and the thing about Chipotle is they're very clever and they have good lawyers, and they use a lot of marketing terminology that has no regulatory or legal significance whatsoever. One of these terms is natural. I mean, so what does it mean for something to be natural or naturally raised? Well, nothing, according to the FDA. And yet when they talk about their food as being natural, the images that are conjured up in consumers' heads are idyllic farms and grassy fields and happy animals, you know, acres and acres of land to roam on. But what this lawsuit alleged, and what I think is true, is that this is not a true depiction of what's actually happening in their farms. And those of us who have been inside some of these so-called natural farms and so-called free-range farms know that animals are often confined just as tightly in free-range and humane farms as they are in industrial farms. The only difference is they've replaced the cages of wire with the cages of flesh. And so the reality for the animals living under Chipotle's cages is the same violence, mutilation, and ultimately slaughter as McDonald's and Burger King and all these other restaurants. The only difference is the market.
And as you revealed, shocking revelation, Chipotle is up to number three, really playing on probably good intentions of the customers who think that they, you know, want to do something better for animals. But the only thing you can do better for animals really is to go vegan. Now, tell us about the Direct Action Everywhere campaign against Chipotle, what you've been doing and what you have planned.
So our campaign started in October, and the first demonstration we did in October was a diet. We have dozens of activists in San Francisco converge on a couple of Chipotle locations and lay our bodies on the ground and block off the restaurant to represent the violence and death that's actually happening inside of this restaurant. So on all the restaurants, you'll see this big motto that says Food of Integrity, and then the marketing materials, they talk about how all their animals are responsibly raised. And what we wanted to show the public was that this is not a place that's raising animals with care and love and responsibly. This is a place that's filled with violence and death. And so we laid our bodies down on the ground and made a video of it. And immediately thereafter, there are six other cities that joined in on the campaign. And now, 3 months later, we now have 24 cities in 5 different countries around the world that have jumped on this campaign, because you see the same response in animal industry all over the world. Wherever the animal rights movement grows, whether veganism is growing, animal industry's response is to say, oh, but we treat the animals well.
Right. We have to take a break here. We'll continue our discussion for a few more minutes after the break. It's Go Sounds Vegan good. Radio with Bob Linden. And if you missed any of our interview, you can hear the archive at goveganradio.com, where you can donate to support the program. Help us pay for radio airtime. With Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook goveganradio with Bob Linden, and there are two Bob Linden pages that are usually maxed out unless I offend somebody on this program, and then usually two or three people can get in at that time. So, and we're talking to Wayne Chun of the Direct Action Everywhere, and its campaign against Chipotle, the third largest restaurant chain in America, now deceiving the public with claims of humane animal care products, etc. And you were telling us about the Direct Action Everywhere, and I'm very impressed. You've gone into Chipotle locations, and people have gone down on the floor, right? Just in protest, yes?
Where we had a few dozen actors lay down on the ground and kind of just block the restaurant. And we've been kind of incredibly gratified by the positive response we received from customers, from the public, and even sometimes from employees. We had an employee who came to one of our community events just today talking about the actions and saying that it was a shock to them, because so many people are drinking the Kool-Aid. So many people look at these videos, look at this marketing, and accept what Chipotle is saying about themselves. But when you look underneath this moral mask they put on, you start to see that there's some problems and inconsistencies. And the most fundamental one, as we've emphasized in this interview, is that they're killing animals. I mean, it's impossible to transform the act of killing into an act of kindness, and that's what Chipotle has tried to do. And so over the past 3 months, we've been engaged in creative disruptions and creative demonstrations at Chipotle locations all over the country and all over the world to show the world and to show Chipotle that killing is not an act of kindness, and that what we need to do if we want to have a nonviolent world is just to take animals off the menu entirely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do you have planned in the future? How can people get involved with the campaign?
Sure. So this is a grassroots campaign. So, you know, people have decided to join the campaign without kind of any consultation with us at all. And the most recent demonstration, the most recent day of action, we had folks out in Stuttgart and Copenhagen, Denmark joining the campaign. Because as I said, the humane myth is something that's bubbling up all over the world. It's not just a problem in the United States. It's a problem in Europe and China and wherever animal rights activists are having success. But our next day of action is coming up on the weekend of February 22nd, and the theme of the day of action is love is action. That if Chipotle, members of the public, if Chipotle's customers truly love animals, what they'll do is defend and protect them, not kill them. And we're expecting to have at least as many cities as last month, so at least 24. And what we'll be doing this particular day of action is we'll be bringing little placards that have images of animals that have been rescued from places of violence and place into sanctuaries, places of peace and kindness. We'll bring these little placards into the restaurant and give them to customers and show them that Chipotle wants you to believe that loving animals involves eating. But what we want to show you and what we want to tell you is that truly loving animals means protecting them, caring for them, and letting them live out their natural lives. We're really excited about the positive feedback we've received around the country and world already for this day of action. If you want to get involved, just go to our Facebook page or go to our website, message one of us, or even just do it completely independently of us. We have a lot of infrastructure and resources we can provide to any activists who want to join in. But as I said, many cities around the country have just joined in spontaneously, completely independently of us.
What is the Facebook page or website or whatever location people can go?
The Facebook page is facebook.com/directactioneverywhere, and the website is just directactioneverywhere.com. And if you just Google Direct Action Everywhere, it's the first thing that will come up.
Okay, great. And did you say the next day of action is February 22nd, or that's when you have an event planned?
So we have monthly days of action, and we encourage everyone to do their action, their demonstration, on or around the date that we're planning to do it in the Bay Area. But many cities have done it 2 weeks, 1 week in advance of ours. So the date we're designating for this particular day of action is February 22nd. But some cities, I'm sure, will do it on the 14th or closer to the 28th. So, you know, the important thing is that we're all acting in solidarity against this company and against the humane meat.
Mm. And as you point out, there is no humane meat. All meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption comes with basically rape, torture, mutilation, and murder. There is no avoiding that. There's just no avoiding it. So,
you're right. And I think there's so many people in the animal rights movement who just don't have the sort of confidence that you have, Bob. And I think one of the biggest objectives we have with this campaign, with the Direct Action Everywhere, is to inject that confidence back in our movement, to convince people that we can say what we truly believe, that animals ought not be on the menu at all, but animals ought not be killed. We can say that because it's the right thing to say, and because we have activists and people all over the world who see the same things that we see, who see that violence against animals, whether it's, you know, whether it's happening in a humane farm or an industrial farm, is wrong. So why not just say that directly, honestly, and with strength? I think if we say that confidently and everywhere it's happening, we can make a lot of changes in this world.
Thanks for being with us today, Wayne Shun. Again, Direct Action Everywhere. Professor Gary Francione coming up next on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Thanks, Wayne. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio. Yeah, kind of a blowout in the Super Bowl, so we welcome all the NFL viewers who I'm sure have now given up chicken wings and pizza, if you've heard any of this program today. It is very easy to go vegan. In fact, it's as easy as answering the doorbell with Greenlight Meals. And Greenlight Meals delivers great tasting, nutritious meals to your home or office. The website is greenlightmeals.com, GREENLITE meals.com, greenlightmeals.com. You just really check out the menu. You'll see you sacrifice nothing when you go vegan, especially you don't sacrifice animals. But, I mean, look at breakfast choices, including tofu scramble, breakfast burrito, banana walnut pancakes, Cinnabon oatmeal, and lots more. You have entree choices, including Chipotle falafel. Nope. Don't go to Chipotle. Get the Chipotle falafel with sweet potato burrito, baked bean and veggie chili, tofu fritters with hot pepper relish, root vegetable soup, lentil soup, stuffed peppers, even vegan barbecue chicken, beefless stew, and buffalo cauliflower. And a lot more. You got snacks from jerky to trail mix to peanut butter cups and chickpea tenders with dipping sauce. So, yeah, this is the solution. Give up the wings, give up the burgers, get healthy food delivered right to your home or office, including great smoothies and desserts. And also, there's a meal plan that's right for you. And when you sign up for one, you can accelerate your fitness and weight loss goals with consultation and workout from Melissa Bray, who was on this program every week in January, helping you keep your New Year's resolutions. So check it all out at greenlightmeals.com, greenlitemeals.com. It is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Now time for animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione, who is the first academic to teach animal rights theory in an American law school. He's at Rutgers University, and his website is abolitionistapproach.com. Once again, Professor Francione asked me to invite Nathan Runkle and Matt Rice of Mercy for Animals on the program. I have urged my Twitter and Facebook people, and I'm urging Matt, Nathan, please come on the program. Why am I asking them on again, Gary?
Well, I would like to have a discussion with them about about the Tyson food campaign, Bob. I'm obviously missing something here. I mean, it's shocking to me that an organization that purports to be an animal organization would be engaged in this campaign with Tyson's and praising Tyson for promising to do basically nothing, but that Mercy for Animals would be in this situation of promoting happy exploitation. It's appalling. It's disturbing to me, and so I would just like to discuss it with them. I mean, I assume that they have some good answers. I mean, a lot of people seem very confused by what they're doing and very disappointed, and so I suspect that they have some thinking that I don't understand, and so that's why I think it's a good idea. Don't you, Bob?
I do. In fact, I was asking Mercy for Animals to comment when it supported, you know, when Mercy for Animals became, you know, like the Eggs Benedict Arnold's, you know, supporting the egg bill. You know, it was like, yeah. I said, well, you changed your position on furnished enriched cages. One day you were totally against them. The next day you're campaigning for them. What changed? And all they would say is, Bob Linden, you're a bully. You know, so they attack me, and Tyson's has a history of animal abuse and broken promises, you know, over the years.
Well, what's interesting about this campaign is they're not promising to do anything, so they can't make any promises because they're not promising to do anything. And so it's not clear to me. I mean, it's a completely sort of bizarre aspirational campaign that, you know, that Tyson will ask its producers to maybe think about, maybe perhaps think about some changes, and you know, these are minor changes anyway, and you know, by and large these are very, very minor changes, and you know, you've got Mercy for Animals basically saying, gee, you know, they really should stop clubbing the piglets. They should instead be electrocuting them or gassing them or overdosing them or whatever. All these horrible ways of executing these poor little pigs that have done nothing wrong. And you got Mercy for Animals putting the stamp of approval on it. I mean, Bob, I'm missing something. So am I.
And, you know, we're trying to really ask for some definition here. In fact, I'm kind of hoping that what Mercy for Animals hopes happens doesn't happen, because it's supporting new animal research funded by Tyson. So,
well, yeah, that's right. That's right. Part of the commitment is that Tyson will do research which will involve vivisection.
Yes,
that will result in, quote, more humane ways, end quote, to exploit these pigs. So, I mean, basically, Mercy for Animals is getting Tyson's to commit to vivisection. That's something I wanted to ask Nathan or Matt. And in a sense, I can understand why they're not accepting the invitation, because my view is that they probably have nothing to say. I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, you know, I mean, it is a fact that they are promoting Tyson, it's a fact that they're involved in a campaign which I think is detrimental and counterproductive in all sorts of ways. And you know, as I say, maybe I'm missing something, or maybe they ain't got nothing to say. And so
well,
I don't know.
We are missing something. Well, you know what it is and people keep saying to me that, you know, I'm divisive and this is infighting, but I am not in that same movement. I'm not in, you know, a movement of animal exploitation approval, which is what this is. And I don't understand anything about it.
Bob, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you there and tell you that when it comes to divisiveness, You might be divisive, Bob, but I mean, I have been being called divisive for at least 25 years now, and I keep saying this, the exact same thing. We're not in the same... You can't divide something. You know, saying it's divisive assumes that there's a unitary institution, and there isn't. I'm not in it. You're not in it. You know, Lyndon and Francione aren't in it. So that we're divisive of the movement assumes that we're part of what they're doing, and we're not. And then we keep on saying, look, we don't want to be a part of that. And then you get this. What I love is the claim that you have to be, you know, if you're into nonviolence, you have to be compassionate to people who don't agree with you. And the answer is, yeah, that's fine. I don't believe in violence whatsoever. But the idea that I'm supposed to say, oh, you're into happy exploitation, I can't criticize that because that would be violent, just is bizarre beyond belief. It's to say that I have to embrace happy violence in order to be nonviolent. The answer is not on your life ever. I'm never going to approve of happy exploitation or welfare reform. But you know what? We shouldn't have to, and we don't. You know what I'd like to talk about this week, if I might, is, you know, the thesis of the book that I wrote with Anna Charlton, Eat Like You Care, is that most people already believe everything they need to believe to go vegan already. Now, it's nothing extreme, nothing weird. I mean, we already believe it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering. We already believe that you can't justify exploiting animals for reasons of pleasure, amusement, or convenience. That is the only reason that we eat animals, is for palate pleasure. So therefore, we all end up in the same position of being like Michael Vick. He likes sitting around a pit watching dogs fight. We like sitting around a pit roasting the corpses of animals that have been treated and killed every bit as hideously as Vic's dogs. We already believe everything we need to believe to go vegan, to be vegan. And you know, you see these stories every week. There are two of them this week that just blew me away. One was about some, you know, there's a recycling plant in Scotland, and they're just about to start the recycling machine, and they see that there's a hen in a box, and they stop before the hen gets crushed, and there's this huge outcry, and everyone's really all upset. And there's a quote from in the BBC in which the Scottish SPCA says this is a particularly cruel abandonment of this bird, which appears to have been done with the intention of causing the bird's serious harm or death. Now, they're killing millions of animals. As far as I know, Britain has an egg industry. And an egg industry involves killing all of the male chicks because you can't use them for meat animals because of the way that they're bred. They're not acceptable for meat animals. So what ends up happening is the males all get killed. They either get gassed or they get crushed. So in Britain, they're crushing millions of male chicks. And then we find this hen at a recycling plant who's just about to get crushed, and everybody's all upset. Now, what does that say? Does it say that we suffer from moral schizophrenia? Yeah, it does. But the flip side of that is we cheer for this bird because we don't want to see her die. We already have the moral apparatus to lead us to the vegan conclusion. There's nothing extreme about it. There's nothing bizarre about it. We already, that's part of our moral self, our moral sense that we have right now. Same thing with the story of the calf, that this was a calf that was found in Virginia with frostbite on his legs and tail. And he was taken to some place called the Cellar Ranch, run by somebody named Kitty Martin. It's a rescue place in Greenville, Virginia. And Martin didn't know what to do, and she couldn't get help from various, nobody knew what to do. And eventually Texas A&M put prosthetic legs on this. You know, they had to take the legs off, the hind legs off of this calf because they had frostbite, and so they put prosthetic legs on the calf. Now think about this, for you know, and everybody's cheering this, and you know, and the people at the Stella Ranch, this, you know, say that this calf who's been named Hero is really changing everyone. You know, this calf has really become a real personality. But yet, as far as I've been reading on Facebook, there's some issue as to whether or not people at Stella Ranch are vegan, some things I read recently suggest that they're not. But the bottom line is whether, you know, I mean, they're not being vegan is a separate issue, and it's just bizarre and bewildering. But again, we're all cheering. You know, this is a big story about Hero the calf and his prosthetic legs. We're all cheering for Hero. Why? We're all eating Hero every single day. All of us who are eating, who are consuming dairy, are responsible for the death of millions of heroes. Why? Because we're taking calves away from them. We have to keep the cows pregnant. They've got to give milk. We're taking the calves away. The male calves are being sold to veal. The female calves are being cycled into the dairy industry.
We have to take a break, Professor Francione. So we will continue. We will continue with Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio. A grocery store with everything vegan. Yes, Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga, 6,000 items, everything vegan. Now a smaller version opened in Santa Monica on Ocean Park and 28th. Check it out at vivalavegangrocery.com. And my KPFA commentary that takes place Wednesday mornings in the 8 o'clock hour on hiatus until February 26th. There'll be a pledge drive happening, and the regular host is gone for a couple of weeks. So my commentaries resume February 26th on KPFA, and they are archived also at goveganradio.com. And every week we have animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione. And I think, Gary, what you were talking about earlier is, you know, we have sympathy for one animal, but not the billions. You know, when there's a case where we see one, you know, if we hear an airline crashes, 300 people die, it's like, oh well. But then you hear, oh, the mother of this child. I don't know. There seems to be a sympathy for one, yet we can't relate to the billion happening one at a time, you know?
Yeah, but I think most of us, though, think in situations of human disaster. You know, we think in terms of human rights. So we might focus on one individual, but we believe that, you know, we think that it's a tragedy for all of the humans that have been killed in a disaster. What's so interesting about the animal issue is that we all participate in exploiting animals in ways in which we don't exploit any humans. I mean, just qualitatively different. But yet, when we see these, you know, we see these instances with the cow and with the hen, the calf and the hen, we, you know, they become individuals, they become persons, and even though they're not the special animals like the, you know, the Taiji dolphins and the horses that everyone seems to think are somehow different from farm animals, which they are not, but, you know, even though the calf and the hen are not, quote, special, end quote, animals, an idea that I, of course, reject, but nevertheless, they become special, they become persons. And look, Bob, I think the bottom line is there are a lot of folks out there who care morally about animals. And, you know, there are a lot of people who don't care. So the people who don't care, nothing that you say to them is going to make a difference one way or another. But the people who do care, why aren't we teaching them about veganism rather than encouraging them to, you know, eat cage-free eggs or crate-free pork or all of this stuff? I mean, this idea that people aren't going to go vegan overnight. Yeah, I know. I know that. You know that. But the bottom line is, we ought to be clear in terms of the moral message. If somebody wants to do less than go vegan, that ought to be their choice and not a matter of our recommendation. And I think these stories, Bob, really illustrate very, very well the whole idea that they're already non-human persons. They already have moral standing in our minds. We just don't know what to do about that because we've been taught for so long, and it's been reinforced so strongly that it's all right for us to continue to exploit them, that exploiting them is natural. Well, it's not, and we know it's not. So why don't we appeal to all the folks out there who are on the same wavelength, who just need some clear thinking, which they're not getting from these large organizations. You know, they look at the large organizations and they're being told Tyson Foods, oh, they're great, they're doing a great job. Or, you know, McDonald's doing a great job. You know, got PETA saying that McDonald's is leading the way in fast food animal welfare. I mean, that sort of stuff confuses people. Let's stop confusing people. Let's be clear. If animals matter morally, there is only one rational response, just one, and that's going vegan. And if somebody wants to do less than that, that's fine. That's their choice. But let that be their choice and not what we recommend, not what we say is morally acceptable. Yeah. Animal
and,
people,
and we're
people,
so arrogant. We're so arrogant. It's like, oh, they'll never go vegan, you know, like me.
Exactly.
You know?
Means,
you know,
it's completely elitist. It's completely elitist. It's this idea that, well, we're smart enough to understand the truth, but they're just, you know, I mean, I have people routinely, you know, post comments on the Facebook site saying, well, you know, the masses won't understand that. Well, I got news for you. The masses are a hell of a lot smarter than you give them credit for. And they just need to be educated. No one cares enough about them to educate them. And you know, I find I talk to lots of groups of non-academic people, just regular sorts of folks, and I find they really understand this. This is not rocket science. This is something. This is my point. This is something people already, the background noise to their moral lives already. They just don't know what it means in terms of practical implementation. That's where the animal movement's falling down, because it's not giving them what they need to understand is the practical implication of their beliefs. Indeed, it's confusing them by telling
right.
them that,
right.
you know,
and
if they eat happy meat at Chipotle's or whatever, you know, or if they buy happy meat at Whole Foods,
yeah.
they're discharging their moral obligation.
We're out of time. Who are we to deprive people of the information that will save their lives on
That's
the planet?
That's what I say. See you
yeah.
next week, Bob.
See you next week. Thanks for listening. GoVeganRadio.com. We'll be right back.